when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. The book of Luke, chapter 10, if you want to follow along in the reading of the Word of God, a familiar story, very short story in the Bible. I believe 5 verses will cover this story for us. I want to speak for a little while on reprioritizing your life. The book of Luke, chapter 10, the Bible says in Luke, chapter 10, in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went, that Jesus, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away.'" Can you say amen to the Word of God? Here we're reading a story of a woman that has received Jesus into her home. This is the story of Mary and Martha, and you know very well their brother Lazarus. This was a family that oftentimes Jesus would visit them. "Now when it came to pass that they went, he entered into a certain village," verse 38, "and a certain woman named Martha received him." Martha and Mary were sisters. So Martha and Mary, you know the story of them mostly from their brother Lazarus, but Jesus would visit them often, and he would eat with them and fellowship with them. And I look at Martha, and we no doubt see that this was a very hospitable woman. Whether she was a widow or not, she definitely did not have a husband that we read of, at least in the portions of the Gospels here. But she did have a sister, Mary and Lazarus, that lived with her. So she oftentimes would allow Jesus to come to the home, and she would look forward to him coming in. And can I tell you, when Jesus came to the house, he brought a crowd with him. Amen. Because, see, Jesus had 12 grown men always with him. Are you listening? Those were the disciples. Those were the apostles. And so, can I tell you, sisters, if you had Jesus come into your home, you better get ready, because you're going to have to feed 12 men, and then there's probably some other people that were with them oftentimes. So, no doubt her house was full of people, and she was hospitable. And we don't know altogether if this was a plan, probably not. So no doubt she was a hospitable woman that loved to minister to her brothers and sisters in Christ and Jesus himself. What an honor, what a privilege that Jesus would come and be in her home. And the Bible goes on to say that Martha was preparing much food for all of the guests, and you could only imagine she was having to feed all of the disciples and Jesus and her own family members, Lazarus and Mary, and then God knows how many others possibly could have been in the home. So you could imagine one woman trying to take care of everything. Amen. But she was willing to take on the task, and she was serving this brother and going over and taking care of this and in the kitchen and back and forth. How many have ever seen waitresses in a restaurant that have been just there, and you know that the restaurant is busy? And you know, people, one thing you got to realize is that people are very critical with their food, especially when they're paying for it. But I've watched waitresses just go here and there, and you can tell, and I've looked at them oftentimes and said, "You're pretty busy, aren't you?" And they say, "Oh, you just don't know." And you can see the weight of responsibility of making sure that everybody at every table's taken care of, their drinks are taken care of, their food is cooked just right, they've got their napkins, they've got their utensils. So the pressure of this waiter, and that's what Martha is doing. She's waiting on her brothers and sisters. And the Bible goes on to say that as she's taking care of everybody, that her sister Mary, in verse 39 of Luke chapter 10, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. So Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord, hearing his teaching, expounding on probably parables, oftentimes is where Jesus would minister to the people. And she's sitting there at the feet of the Lord. Can I tell you, that's a good place to be, is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. When we speak of sitting at the feet of Jesus, we realize that sitting at his feet speaks of coming under his authority, his teaching. It was Gamaliel that Paul the Apostle sat under. Gamaliel was one of the great teachers of his day. And the Bible declares that when Paul gave his pedigree, that he said, "I sat at the feet of Gamaliel," which is a well-respected scholar and teacher of that day. And Paul sat under the best. So when we think of someone in this setting and in this terminology, sitting at someone's feet, it speaks of them sitting under like a professor that is teaching them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And that's what Jesus was. He was the greatest teacher that this world has ever seen. If we can only imagine the anointing that must have came from the lips of Jesus as he taught the multitudes, as he taught one individual, as he sat in the home of Martha, you could hear his voice going through the home. And brothers and sisters, we couldn't imagine the anointing of his word. Can I tell you what the anointing does? It attracts people. The anointing attracts and draws people. And when you are listening to Jesus, there's no man that spoke like this man. There's no man that could teach like this man. There's no man that could speak and pierce right into the depths of your heart and bring a word to you that will speak to you, minister to you, and deal with your heart to understand your greater need for God. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered. Martha was the one serving. Martha was the one left all alone about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care, Jesus, that I am left all alone doing this all by myself?" Have you ever just felt sometimes that you do things all alone? That I'm the one that got to take care of this. I'm the one that's got to clean the house. So those of you that are single, you're used to it. But for those of us that have a family, can I tell you? It's one thing to just take care of yourself, but it's another thing to have the responsibility to take care of all. But one of the worst things a husband can do is come home from a long day worth of work and ask his wife, "What have you been doing all day?" Amen. I'm just telling you something. A lot of men right now are learning real quick what a woman has to go through at home with a family. The Bible says that she was cumbered about with all the serving that she had to do. The Bible says that she asked the question to Jesus in the midst of her frustration, in the midst of herself going here and there and everywhere, trying to take care of everybody. And her sister Mary is sitting down and not doing anything to lift a finger to help Martha. I mean, how dare you, Mary, that you would sit there? Many of us today would say she's lazy. I mean, look, I'm the one doing all the work. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters? But Martha had it all wrong. Mary actually was doing what was more important than anything. I think sometimes we're critical with people, but can I tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't know where some people are at personally in their lives. And can I tell you, there comes a time when there's nothing more important than sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the lawn mow and the grass grow tall. Let the laundry go. Let the dishes go. Let the much serving go. There comes a time where we've got to realize what is really important in this life. The frustration is now flowing out of her. Don't you care? My sister's left me all alone, verse 40. Bid her and ask her to come help me. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art what? Careful and troubled about, but one thing is needful. This is Jesus speaking to Martha in her frustration and all of her anxiety, all of her concern, all of the responsibility that she wants to put on her best hospitality for Jesus. And in the midst of that, she's feeling overwhelmed. How many of you have just felt like life sometimes can overwhelm you? The responsibility that's placed on some of us. And it's okay to have responsibility, but when you're doing it all by yourself, brothers and sisters, it's a whole different story. So here, as I read this, I want to bring out some points as I've laid the foundation very quickly. Want to move along. And what the Lord had spoken to me is out of that 42nd verse. Can we read that? But one thing is needful. This is Jesus speaking to Martha. And Mary hath made the choice and has chosen that good part. Luke 10 and 42, which shall not be taken away from her. I believe God has given us a great opportunity during this pandemic, during this virus, for us to self-examine ourselves. You know, we're living in a time where we're realizing that we can live without a lot of things that we like to have in our lives. There's a lot of things that we've had to do without. Some of us love going out and having fellowship and going out to eat. There's a lot of folks that love just going here and going there and meeting up with this brother and this sister. But now all the restaurants are closed. And can I tell you now, for many, many weeks, we've had to either order takeout or folks have had to just sit at home and cook. But can I tell you what we realized real quick? We can do without the restaurant. Can I tell you, we can live without going to some of these places like the malls and going to these shopping centers. What we've learned through this is there's some things that are really not a true need in our life. There are things that we want, there are things that we desire, there are things that we enjoy to do, but they're really not needful for us to continue in life. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, what we need to realize is there's some things that we can live without. There's a lot of things in our lives that take away such precious time that we have. Can I tell you one of the most important things as I get older, I'm realizing real quickly, is spending time with those that I love the most. I know we're not being able to gather the way we would like to gather in the house of God. We're not able to gather and come together in fellowship. But I'm going to tell you something. We can do without our brother. We can do without our sister sometimes. But we can't go without God. Amen. We can't go without having the presence of the Lord. There comes a time where we need to realize there's a lot of things that we can do without, but there's one thing that is needful for me and for you and for this nation and for my family. We need God more than anything. Fact is that if we are going to receive what we need, we're going to have to make time for God. I'm going to say it again. We need to reevaluate our schedules. We need to reprioritize our personal life. God has given us a season to reprioritize our lives. Can I tell you, in America, there was once a time on Sundays that family members wouldn't be running off to the beach. There was once a time they wouldn't be sitting around watching football and the NFL all day and the NBA on the television. Call them old-fashioned, call them what you want. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. When it comes to Sunday, America used to be a nation that acknowledged Sunday is the day of the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to worship God in this day. I'm not going to, oh, come on now, somebody. I'm telling you, but what has happened as the generations have gone by, we've turned into a society that loves pleasure more than we love God. We love our sports. We love running to the beach. We love going to the ball game. We love going to do what we want to do that caters to our flesh. But yet, brothers and sisters, we've come to the place where God is not a priority in our personal lives anymore. What has happened is a lukewarmness is coming on the hearts of many right now. He's the one that we need. And can I tell you, yes, God can meet you in your bedroom. Yes, God can meet you out in the middle of a forest or somewhere. But there's nothing that can replace coming together in His name, in the house of God, and worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness. There's one thing that can never replace coming into the presence of Jesus, sitting at His feet, hearing the old songs of Zion, and sitting at the feet of the Master and hearing the Word of God preach. There's nothing that can take place of sitting at the feet of Jesus. What we're learning about ourselves right now is many people are realizing they can live without a lot of things. There's certain places that we like to go often. And guess what? We're still alive and well, and we haven't had it now for almost a month and a half to 2 months. You don't need that restaurant. You don't need your favorite food at that particular place. You don't have to go here, there, and there. What am I trying to say? What has happened to your prioritizing your life? I want to ask you, in all of this busy schedule that many of us have, where do you have time for God? I thank God for the technical stuff that we have with the camera and the ability to go on the internet and preach the gospel all over on our different social media places on the internet. But nothing is going to replace coming together in His name. That's why He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together in the manner as much as some do that. Amen. But especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching, don't forget you need to come together in His name. I'm hearing people say, oh boy, I just can't wait till baseball starts. I just can't wait till the NFL starts. I just can't wait till I can go down to the beach. I just can't wait till I can go do this and go do that. Brother, there's some things that we really don't need. And I'm not calling any of those things necessarily sin. But I'm going to tell you what has happened in America is our priorities are way, way out of whack. Our priorities are so far from what God would desire them to be in our lives. And could it be that in this time of self-evaluation, and in this time where we have the opportunity to examine ourselves, we need to understand that this is a day and an hour where we need God more than we've ever needed Him as a nation. We need God not only in our nation, but we need God in our families. Amen. Our families are a mess right now. Our families are going through a lot of problems and issues. And if there's ever been a day and an hour that we need to focus on our children, focus on our marriages, focus on my brother and my sister. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you right now, one of the most precious things that God can give you is a husband or a wife with some beautiful family and called children. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my children. I thank God for my wife. And I thank God for all of my friends. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That's where the focus has got to be, is we've got to understand what is more precious to us is what we spend the most time with. You can determine how much somebody loves something by how much time they spend with it. You ever see folks leave their phones at their home and then realize it in the vehicle? You see the panic. What? Oh, man. Where's my phone? Oh, man. Did you catch that? I've been guilty of it a time or two. Thank God I was only a little ways away from the house. Amen. But do you see the anxiety? Do you see the feeling we get because of the stronghold that this device has over us? Oh, I need this thing as a pastor. And some of you need it. We need it for business. We need it for our relationship. We need it for a lot of things. But can I tell you, we could live without it. There have been times on the mission field where we didn't have no signal. I didn't have no access to get a hold of my wife for days. I've been out in the bush country of Africa 5-6 hours. There was no cell phone towers out there, brother. There was no nothing. Guess what, brothers and sisters? I realized real quick, you can't take every brother or every sister on the mission field, because there's some people that can't do without their Wi-Fi. It's amazing when folks will walk in your house and the first thing they're going to say is not how you doing, but they'll say, what's your Wi-Fi password? We live in a generation of people that are so connected to the world, and what is priority in their life is the things that bring them pleasure. And when the internet, amen, is more important to you than connecting with your family, you need to reprioritize your life. We've trained a younger generation that they can get by without God. Hear what I'm telling you right now, church. We need to pray. That's why I'm telling you, I got a burden for many of our brothers and sisters that aren't going to be, probably many of them, going to take a while for them to get back in the house of God. Why? Because, amen, we've come into a place of complacency. We've come into a place of lethargy. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we as a nation and as a church, we need a revival of God sending and piercing our hearts to understand there's some things that we can live without. I don't need the internet all the time. I don't need my cell phone all the time. What happened to just spending some time with my wife and children? How about gathering around the table and reading the Bible? How about spending some time across the table with those that you love the most and just sitting there talking about the goodness of God? Hallelujah. There used to be a time in America where one of the most prioritizing things was sitting around the table on a Sunday afternoon as a family. Now that's not as important, because we've gotten our priorities out of order. If we are going to hear what God is saying, we've got to make time for God. You're not just going to pick up some little book called Daily Bread every morning and read a few verses of scripture and a little paragraph. Now listen, I enjoy daily bread, but I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Where we are today, I need more than a morsel of bread. I need some hidden manna. I need some meat. I don't know about you, but I've moved beyond the milk of the word. I need a word that will carry me through the day with all the battles that I'm fighting, with all the circumstances, with all the situations, with all that's going on within our nation. I'm telling you, the church needs more than a little sermon that'll get them by. We need to spend some time sitting at the feet of Jesus in our homes. We need to spend some time cracking open the Bible that has gathered dust on it. And we need to sit at the feet of the Master. This is the greatest need for the church, is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved His love to him when He sent His only Son. Then He came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.